Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 243. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
And I'm hoping that the Vikings can win in that blizzard in Baltimore.
Oh, I didn't know
about
that.
We're in the middle of the game right now as we record this, so this is how dedicated we are.
We are dedicated.
Just started. Just started the third quarter.
And Phil Wilson watching the fashion shows.
That's right.
No?
Waiting for ice skating to come on.
Ice skating was on before, Phil.
It was? Did I miss it?
Crap. I know this because I turned the TV on and it was on ice skating, and then I turned to Fox for the game. Oh. So it was on earlier.
Interesting.
I'm sorry I missed it. Not really.
Well, you know, I don't know. But if we had the home automation that Steve Borsch has,
it would all happen automatically.
That's right. We wouldn't watch anything because we're so into these smart things.
Well, I will tell you that our buddies at SmartThings came out with a new app, a new website too, which I think is nice, but a new app that's very iOS 7-like, and they'll have an Android version soon, but it really sets it up for newbies to use. It's got a nice dashboard.
How hard was it to use before?
Yeah, really. It wasn't that hard before.
Well, it wasn't that hard before. It's just that this makes it easier to do things like buying new devices and handshaking them with your SmartThings hub. You know, just little stuff like that. The only kicker is I used it, I had it open last night, and I looked at my phone, and I was down to 43% battery from 85%. And I thought, oh, geez, I wonder if it's that app. I haven't had a chance to do a real investigation yet, but.
I can tell if it is the app, Steve, even though I don't have it.
And how can you tell?
If they sell a Mophie case for the iPhone 5S, then I know it's the app.
Who does SmartThings?
Yeah, one of those battery cases. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Even though for sure that it's run the battery. No, okay. I'm just kidding.
All right.
If they did, then you'd know. You'd be onto them.
Oh man,
it was probably a coincidence,
but it's great because TechCrunch has a great article about it, and we have one up on Minivate about SmartThings' new clean and slick app. You know, one thing I want to mention is I was trolling around Amazon looking at various smart things,
how to party. Yes,
that's right. And I was
looking at the sensors.
Yeah. I was looking at the switches and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden I noticed SmartThings popping up in my search results. Uh-huh. I thought, oh my gosh. So I started poking around and it turns out they're in distribution. They're at Amazon and sold by Amazon, not some third party. So that's really great. Ooh. Getting the product out there and getting it into more hands. So I thought that was pretty positive.
This Internet of Things, it has potential, I think.
I think it does. If nothing else, just by all the companies spending money, you know, Intel and Cisco and starting divisions and hiring people and all of that. So
It seems sort of like non-story-ish to me. It's like, okay, it's an upgrade to the app.
Woohoo. Well, then, but you're not using it.
Yeah, it's still sitting here. That's for sure.
Yeah,
I haven't got up and wired up any of my things yet.
Well, let me know if you ever want to play around. We'll do it together.
Wow, that's bad.
No, it's you guys are so cruel to me.
It's nerdy cool according to Julio, who should know such things.
Yeah, I know. He really he's got to cover the gamut of stuff that's simple to use by the average Joe consumer and then stuff that, you know, road warriors would use but not really, really serious hardcore geeks. I would say though that, being less confusing, really does make it more accessible. And I showed it, we had a family event Friday night and I showed it to some senior family members who, of course, didn't see the whole reason behind any of that. Anyway, they wanted Rosie the robot from the Jetsons.
Well, Steve, we go up to the switch and we turn it off.
That's exactly what my brother-in-law said.
If we leave the lights on when we leave, you know, they just stay on.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, that was about it. And then my other brother-in-law looked at me and he goes, well, I just use my X10. It's like, oh, geez.
Right. There you go.
That's been out since the 70s, right?
I know. I've added to my system over the years. And remember that company? Did they still, X10.com, are they still around? Because they always used to have like end of year deals where you could get specials on stuff. And I always used to be a sucker for that.
Oh, man. Yes, they are still around.
Now I have a whole bunch of X10 gear. I haven't hooked it up in this new house yet. So
let me ask,
get out and do that.
Your house is like, it's like Mr. Automated House. How many Internet of Things have you got wired up in there? How many sensors, plugs, jacks, motion detectors? How many you got in there?
I have two open-close sensors. I have one multi-sensor on the garage door. So if it stays open for longer than 30 minutes, it sends me a text message. Because, you forget or somebody leaves it open. I have 6 plugs for lamps. I haven't done any in-wall switches. There's all kinds of dimmer switches and just on and off switches and plugs that you can get that are smart. But I'm not doing that because we're going to sell the house, at some point in the next 2 or 3 years. So rather than install a bunch of stuff, I want to put stuff up that I can take along with me when we leave. But I probably now have between $700 and $800 invested in stuff because I have two hubs but I got to get something for my windows because there's a company called glassapps.com that makes a window film. You can buy the windows with the film inside of it, but there's also aftermarket window film that switches on and off. It's either transparent or you can switch it and it goes opaque. And with the lights coming on automatically now, at 4:30, 4:20, whatever. Sometimes the window shades are left open because we decide we're going to stay out longer. And then the lights come on and then you can just look in the house. And so that's not right. I want to be able to close the windows. And I'm not going to buy a bunch of drapery motors. There are companies that make those. You don't have the thing shut automatically.
Well, dude, you're well on your way, so I wouldn't worry about it.
Then you could be like, what is his name? Ernst Blofeld or whatever. or Goldfinger. Remember Goldfinger? He pushes the button and goes,
Blofeld. Yeah. But I still think, I think it'd be handier for him to be to have it get put in his bedroom. You get the big round bed, the disco lights, the acetate shirts. He'd be a playa.
You'd be able to.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'm going to stay on X10 until this thing gets worked out, though.
I'm good.
Okay.
I mean, I'm looking at X10.com. It looks like a nice modern website, and all these things are cheap as heck.
Yeah, but okay, so let me ask you this. if you had one of those new Schlage or quick set locks that have the push buttons on them, the code, you can put in code and open the door, and it also has a key for a backup, but there are ones now that are also Z-Wave, which is the protocol that SmartThings controls. And so if somebody shows up at your house and says, hey, I'm already here. And you say, geez, I'm at least 15 minutes away. And so the person's going to sit in their car, or with your smartphone, you can open up your smartphone and you can let them in. Or if a contractor is going to come over, you can do all that stuff remotely from the net. Or in our case, I'm going to buy I'm going to buy the pet feeder. So, if we're not going to get home till 7:30 and the dog hasn't been fed, we can just push a button and it'll let the food out for the dog at 6 o'clock when she eats. So you can do all that stuff from the net. That's what's cool about it.
All right.
And get text messages back and all that. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm with you. I'm still going to stick with X10 though. Okay. That's just the way that I roll. I'm a Luddite in the internet.
All right.
All right. That's what I am. Luddite or Luddite? What is it? Luddite?
Luddite. I don't know.
Luddite?
I mean, this technology has stood the test of time.
Well, it's still around.
Right? Yeah. It says home gadget since 1978.
My God.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. All right.
Well, either that or you could spend your time on Pinterest
Oh, there it goes. I knew
you could.
There was a segue in there somewhere.
You
wanted to talk about the Pinterest thing with Target because, which again is, I think, sort of, yawn. But
it's their awesome shop. Oh, you got to go to the awesome shop. Come on, Phil. Yeah.
Sorry.
So
I go to the not so awesome shop. It's where I get my whole wardrobe.
There's totally awesome stuff in the awesome shop.
So awesomeshop.target.com is the site.
And there's even more awesome stuff today. There's different awesome stuff, but they still have my favorite, which is the two-piece 3D Star Wars ornament set.
Oh, my God. I'm looking at that right now.
It's only $15, and that is a keeper right there.
Oh, my God. You got to
R2 and C-3PO. Yeah, that's going to make it on the tree.
Nice.
Right there.
All I can say is, on your tree, great.
What, you don't?
Yeah, better your tree than mine.
That's hilarious.
All right, if you want to be like that, that's fine.
Well, here's what I want to know is who from Target is making the decision that something's awesome.
Well, I think this what this is these are Target goods that have been pinned on Pinterest by other people.
Customers.
Oh, I see. And they're turning around and just grabbing them. And they're just
aggregating them onto their site. And when you go to the awesome shop and you see, oh, I want to buy Phil this sunglass with mustache for $16.99. I can go there and I can pin it to my thing. I can rate it, or I can view the details and go and buy it.
Got it.
It's only $16.99, and that would be a fine addition to Phil's
love that
sunglasses. Although it's a woman's, it says woman's.
It would have to have prescription lenses though. So
well, and also
why would a woman wear these glasses that look like the Blues Brothers with a mustache hanging off of them on a chain?
Because she's strange, maybe.
I just like to ask that question. Hopefully someone knows. These are in the women's sunglasses section.
Because it's awesome. Huh.
Yeah, I guess it is.
That's probably it.
Yep. But I think it's a good idea. I mean,
it's an interesting idea.
Target's trying something new.
Yeah, I think that's what I was going to say. Target's at least trying. They're throwing stuff out there, seeing if it sticks.
They're throwing hip stuff out there. They're using the social networks. They're using the mobile apps. You know, they're keeping it real.
In a lot of ways, in a lot of ways, though, it's smart because, you know, like now, I'm sure you guys never, ever not recommend that somebody put sharing capability on their website. So especially if they're going to have a blog.
I don't like people to spread the word. I like keep those.
I was doing Edward Snowden's new blog the other day, and he doesn't want me to put social sharing stuff on his. So
you were building
it? Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I know you are.
Wouldn't that be awesome if he did a blog, though? That would be, he needs to have a Tumblr. The Snowden Tumblr. There'd be hookers in Moscow, a lot of vodka. There'd be a lot of good stuff in that Tumblr.
Oh, man. Well, maybe he could also upload some of his documents. We could read them before they hit the news.
Oh, he's probably sold those all to the Guardian. He probably didn't even have them anymore.
Yeah, it's a Greenwald guy in Brazil. What's an American guy doing living in Brazil? It sounds suspicious.
What? You think so?
What? Yeah. How many Americans do you know that live in Brazil? Zero.
I actually know several that live in Argentina, but not Brazil.
Well, I can see Argentina totally. I'm gonna retire to Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's an awesome place and it's cheap as heck.
I thought you were a closet Nazi too, so that would be good for you to be down there.
I'm have another place up in Lisbon.
Yeah.
In Portugal. Because I think that Portugal is another place. Great history. Cheap as heck to live there.
Well, we now know what Tim is going to do with all the money he makes on Minivate.
That's right.
Well, you know, what's interesting is
I live in Argentina and Portugal.
Well, in Argentina is in the same, I think Buenos Aires is in the same time zone. I think it's in the central time zone. So
really?
That's kind a bonus. Wild. I think so.
Hmm. Is that a bonus or a bonus?
Well, if you're going to talk to family, wouldn't it be nice to not have to be up at 2 a.m. to do it?
I think their central time is different. hour. No. So I think it's an hour difference. I forgot which side it's
on. I'm looking at it now. It's 3 hours. They're 3 hours ahead.
Oh,
so, okay. Yeah.
And you're totally wrong.
Well, I forget that we're on this globe, that it's not flat. You know, so you can't go straight down to Buenos Aires.
What? It's not flat?
It's not, sorry.
The heck you say.
Yeah, there are no
Steve Magellan Borsch.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, nice job, Magellan.
Remind everyone not to sail with me. So see, I just started reading this, by the way. I'm gonna put a link in the show notes because we just talked about Snowden and Greenwald. There's a profile on Snowden and Greenwald, the men who leaked the secrets. How two alienated, angry geeks broke the story of the year. And so I'll put a link in the show notes just because it's, and again, I'm not very far along with it, but it's pretty good. It's a good story.
It's a good read.
Yeah. Yeah. So if anybody's interested in the two guys behind the whole leaking thing from the NSA,
it's a good one. That has absolutely no Minnesota connection whatsoever.
Yeah, but we don't have to talk only about Minnesota.
I know, but we're in the middle of the Minnesota part of the show.
You know,
and I know that I was the one that put us off in the weeds on this. Yeah, so I apologize.
That's okay. Thanks, Tim Tangent Elliott.
Speaking of being in the weeds, yes. On the way to church, we saw five accidents, literally.
Really?
Yeah, one in the like right in the middle of the accident. It happened right in front of us.
Really?
Wow.
Yes.
It was earlier this morning,
like at 8:30 in the morning. It was very treacherous out there.
Wow.
So, yeah, hopefully it's better. Got to go to the hardware store after we're stopped recording here.
Well, you got to be Catholic so you can go the night before. So,
time to convert. Got to punch your ticket for a week.
Us Episcopalians, we can go the night before if we want to, too. We have some Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. That gets in the way of drinking when you do that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Yeah. we're just like the Catholics, except we have like one third less guilt. So
there you go. Nice.
Yep.
Nice.
Yep.
Well, we have.
And the priest can get married, too, which is
good. One of the nice things about us doing this on Sunday this time, guys, is we did, you know, there was a chance to see Julio Ojeda Zapata on CCO this morning.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll put a link in the show notes. He stuck it on YouTube, or somebody stuck it on YouTube. He did a segment with Esme Murphy on holiday gift ideas, and it was pretty good.
What tablet did he like?
Well, it looks like he likes the iPad Mini with Retina and the new Nexus 7. Yeah. Those are two tablet deals. I didn't watch the whole segment. I watched the first 50 seconds.
Well, and
is that a MacBook Air there?
It's a MacBook Air 11 inch, but he does also he's showing the Pad and Quill products. So he showed the cases from them and from one other vendor. I don't recall the name for the Nexus 7, but it's all stuff with a local connection. He loves these Pad and Quill guys and the stuff that they make.
And that's a cool case. That's like a keyboard case. He's showing on the iPad.
Yeah. Well, that is the Logitech Folio, the new one for the iPad Air.
That's a nice looking case.
It's a bigger case, but boy, does he absolutely adore that keyboard.
Yeah. I remember he mentioned that in his book.
Right.
That this is like the best keyboard case for that. It does make it look almost like a Surface tablet, strangely enough. You know, it's that same kind of deal where you've got the keyboard on the flat part.
Yeah. So what if you guys were going to buy a tablet for somebody, how would you go about, what would be your criteria to ask in terms of what they need and so forth?
Well, it depends on who you're giving it to. If they're not technology oriented, I would either lean toward an Apple product or a Barnes and Noble product, because both of them have in-store people that you can just walk into any of their stores and they help you.
Okay.
So for instance, I got my parents a Nook this year because my dad has a Nook, like reader, you know, like e-ink reader. So he's in that ecosystem anyway. And I know that they can walk into any Barnes and Noble across the country and get service on it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's a kid and they, you know, they're going to do stuff for school or whatever, I think an iPad's probably the best bet there.
Yeah, I would always default to the iPad.
Okay.
I do the, you know, I do the new iPad Air.
But you got, I mean, an iPad Air, Phil?
No, I would do the, I would do that. I would recommend that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd do that. Yeah.
But in terms of the price points, is price points necessarily a big?
Well, yeah, it depends. Direction? It depends. I think I look at the quality first and then the price point. It's nice. Yeah. So like the Nook is super cheap right now because they thought they were getting out of the business and they lowered the prices. Then they started selling a lot of them.
Okay.
But the build quality is very good. And that after sale service part of it is really important, I think. And I personally have a Nexus 7 and I think it's a great tablet, but to get service for it, it's a problem. And, you know, a full on Android tablet, I don't know if you know, normal people would fully get that, where an iOS is, you know, very easy and just seems to work well. Mm-hmm. So I would have more confidence in an iPad than an Android tablet. And plus there's a lot more apps to choose from on the iOS side, on the tablet side. I think, you know, Android is caught up and might have even surpassed iOS on the phone side. But on the tablet side, Apple's still ways away ahead of Android, because there's very few tablet specific apps on the Android side.
Interesting.
Even now.
Yeah. Well, I think that's probably one of the biggest things. I actually got a call from my nephew this morning, who was at Best Buy. He had dropped his son off at work and then stopped over, and he called me about 9:15 this morning. And luckily I was up, but, he was asking me about, the Sony Vaio Surface product and et cetera, et cetera. He said, I'm going back and forth between that and an iPad Air. I said, okay, that's a major,
pretty easy question.
That's a major difference. But yeah, I just walked him through it and I said, here's the thing. You need to have somebody show you the various things on each device. And,
I could see where the Windows Surface would be very attractive to people. If you're, you know, use Office all day long and
precisely,
you know, that as a laptop, I'd rather carry one of those as a laptop than, you know, like a Dell laptop that most corporate people get. So I think in that context, that's probably the best tablet for that application. But if it's for kids or, you know, if you're inside the Apple ecosystem on, say, an iPhone or whatever, then, you know, the iPad is the way to go.
Well, you know, what I keep coming back to for people is if you're in financial services or you're in management for a company, or you happen to be a bookkeeper or accountant and you're dealing with things like pivot tables in Microsoft Excel, you know, good luck using a tablet other than the full blown Surface to be able to, use that, right? And have Office on there and so on. Cause you can't do it in Google Apps. You certainly can't do it in Apple Numbers. This stuff's just not going to work.
If you get one of those Surface Pros, though, that they're full on Windows.
They're full on Windows. Well, that's what I meant.
So they can run everything. Plus, you can run that Metro style, you know, tablety finger app stuff.
You can't call it Metro style. It's not Metro style.
Whatever it is. Okay.
Windows.
What do they call that? Modern style. Windows style.
Windows style.
Yeah. That's, you know.
Yeah, it's stupid. But then again,
it is.
We're hoping that the stupid era is ending at Microsoft as soon as Steve Ballmer leaves, right? Is that the plan?
Well,
hope?
They should, because the articles about Windows 8 being a huge fail are everywhere.
Yep.
I mean, you know, Windows 8's failed in the market. Is it failed in the market or only in your mind is one article. The Windows 8 flop, what does it mean for Microsoft at Forbes? You know, on and on and on. So, you know, it's clearly has not done well.
No, so, it has not.
And Windows 7, there was a chart. I'll see if I can find it and put it in the show notes. There was a chart that came out Thursday or Friday of this past week that showed Windows 7 adoption and Windows 8 adoption, and Windows 7 was going up and has significantly surpassed Windows 8. So, and frankly, I like 7. I think 7's a great OS.
Oh, it is. It's rock solid. It's just like the modern era's XP. So, you know, you can still buy Windows 7. Even you know, users can go and buy it still. You have to buy an OEM license, but they're still selling it for enterprise users. And I can definitely see, if you're a CIO, that you'd probably want to move in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
Or why you'd want to do that, you know, stay on the old version. And it's a lot better than XP, that's for sure. And there's a lot of companies that are still running XP or even Windows 2000. I noticed there was a board at the Walmart down here, which is actually, I think it's only 4 or 5 years. So it's not that old of a store. And they're running one of their point of sale registry things on Windows 2000.
Well, I will tell you that if I had a dollar for every time I've seen a healthcare clinic or a hospital running something other than Windows XP, I would be stunned. Now, they're all upgrading to Windows 7 now, you know, a lot of their apps and so forth, but the enterprise is still really locked into Windows XP. So they need compatibility. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, yep. it's a huge deal, but anyhow,
Did you guys see the 60-minute thing on the Amazon drones? What's something we really needed to talk about?
Yeah, I did. The thing that I loved was go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You go ahead. What do you think?
No, I just think it's insane. It's never going to happen. I love the one about the two guys that had a fake drone going between two apartment buildings, and they had a net up, and they. they grabbed the fake drone, you know, and were looking in the boxes to see what was inside. And, you know, they're talking about guys shooting down drones and so on. Come on, it's just not going to happen. I mean, there needs to be a human. If you walk up to a door and you got to get a signature, how are you going to do that? Is a drone just going to hover in place while you sign the back of the drone or something? I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, I think it's a publicity stunt.
It was all a big, it was big being fished in, you know, poor Charlie Rose. It's been hoodwinked. You know, we're going to do this thing with Jeff Bezos on Amazon and to guarantee he gets good placement, the night before Cyber Monday, he says, "Oh, and I'm going to give you an exclusive on something we're working on." So, you know, cobbled together a drone thing with a box underneath it. Whoa, great.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of crap. But it's, you know, it was just one of those, you know, well played Amazon. They were able to manage that in a period of time where they really needed a lot of publicity. So it was great.
And I was surprised that Charlie Rose didn't ask any questions. I mean, it seems like, oh my God, look at this. And then that's it. Like,
which makes me wonder.
There was no like, hey, you're going to cut off the head of that dog, you know, as it comes down.
What about eagles?
Yeah, which makes me wonder, was that a paid for piece of journalism?
I don't know. The Tiffany Network, they're pretty above board.
No, they're not.
Really?
No, I used to work for CBS. I know that you can definitely buy content if you have the right amount of money.
Really?
Oh, sure.
Dan Rather would not have approved that.
Well, Dan's not there anymore.
Well, yeah, Dan's on DNet or whatever he's on.
Yeah.
How rampant is it? You see, there's only been one expose on this that I've seen, but how prevalent is the placement on local news stations, you know, where there's some story that comes out that a PR firm's pushing and they've got a video that goes along with it and they show some new amazing Marvel and blah, 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 but it's just an ad.
Oh. Yeah, it's on there all the time. Yeah.
Is that pretty common?
Make these packages. Oh, it's very common. Sure. Yeah. A lot of these local TV things, you know, like they have reports from the CES and other places, you know, like other major trade shows, and they put it in as just like the news. Those are totally paid, you know, placement things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so are, you know, if you watch Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, you know, the reason they get all these book authors on and musical acts and everything else is that's all paid.
Yep.
I mean, they're not just showing up just cause.
Well, not always, but sometimes, yes.
Remember that there's a 30 Rock episode that was about this, And they had all these different plugs for different products. And they made it very obvious, the plugs. So it was pretty funny.
Hmm.
I'll have to look it up to see if I can
if it
see
can which be episode. Online. Yeah,
I'm sure it is. It's probably on Hulu or one of those. But
yeah,
it was funny because they're like, "Well, this refreshing Coca-Cola would make things better or something." It was. Yeah, I guess you had to be there.
Well,
I'll look for the link.
Okay, so what about and some of them are drop dead hysterical, but what about Ron Burgundy doing the news? From all these different places, including Bismarck, North Dakota. I mean, doing the entire newscast.
It's got to be a terrible movie. That's all I got to say.
Do you think so?
Well, he's working. Will Ferrell is working really hard to promote this movie.
He really is.
He was on SNL last night as a walk-on guy to do like part of the opening monologue. And so he's obviously just continuing to, you know, push this forward to, you know, to say, hey, that's Will Ferrell. You know, he's got a new movie coming out.
Yeah.
But, you know,
It's all about promoting the movie. I got a feeling it's not going to be that good. I don't know how you can recreate that.
Well, the first one wasn't that good.
No. It had some highlights. It had some highlights. Yeah, it had some highlights, though.
Well, I thought it was kind of funny. I liked it. But here's the thing.
Like the Hangover movies are kind of funny. Yeah.
Well, the first one was.
Well, but here's the difference.
Actually, I thought the second one was funnier, but
really?
They were both pretty bad. Did you see the third one? Man, that thing is terrible.
No, I never saw the third one.
No.
Oh, God.
I don't think I saw the second one.
Well, second one's funnier than the first one.
So I was in a fraternity in college, and a bunch of us went to see Animal House when it came out.
There you go. Now that's a movie.
Yeah. We just screamed. I mean, I've never laughed that hard in my entire life. And what's funny is my kids will sit, you know, my daughter's 25 and my son's 19, and they will literally sit and watch Anchorman with friends, and all of them know every line in the movie. It's just, I mean, it's stunning, and how they'll use the line, various lines in different places. So to them, you know, Anchorman is kind of the, in a way, the Animal House of their generation. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
That's bad. It's bad. Yeah.
Well, speaking, when we talked about delivery by drone, what about walking into an Apple store and having somebody go, "Hey, Steve, you've got a Genius appointment.
You didn't spend any money here last week. What are you doing here?"
That's right. What's the deal?
That's right.
What's going on?
Yeah. You need something for those Macs and those iPads and iPhones you have that you've registered with us. So Apple stuck that iBeacon location aware technology in their stores.
Yeah.
So
dog fooding. That's good for them.
Yeah.
No, this will be a good thing. It's big for retailers. Macy's is also getting out in front of this in a big way. So it basically allows fairly recent from, let's see, iPhone 4S, I think, forward devices to interact with a very low cost, low power Bluetooth signal that gives location information about where people are or where their devices are. So if you're in a store, like a Best Buy would be a great place for this too, where you're in the TV section, you could be, you know, pushed information about TVs because they know that you're in the TV section of that store. So it'll be interesting to see what Apple does with it, but they're clearly pushing it as kind of proof of concept kind of stuff.
Well, what I thought was interesting was the TechCrunch discussion about how estimates point to nearly 250 million iOS devices are capable of acting as iBeacons. You know, in terms of interacting with the iBeacon thing in the wall in the store. So that's a pretty unbelievable number when you think about it. That's prior to everyone being chipped. So,
right.
Yeah. So we'll all be chipped and then be tracked everywhere. And, you know, forget about putting Android flashlight apps on phones so marketers can track them all over the world.
Right.
Instead, let's just chip everybody, you know. And then I was thinking about actually after the holidays, I want to wait, but having the number 666 tattooed to my forehead. So that was supposed to be a joke.
Okay. Sign of the beast.
Yeah. Well, that's because don't you remember with all this, this talk about cybernetics and chips in you, and now people are pointing, there's a lot of fundamentalists who are pointing out the fact that trackable phones are the mark of the beast, you know, that's the devil's work and et cetera, et cetera. So,
well, it is, isn't it?
Well, I actually thought the game Pong from Atari was back in the day. It was the work of the devil. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I don't believe in any of that.
I was watching Sunday Morning this morning. I don't know if you guys watch that program at all. That's sort of one of the last things I've watched, you know, from
TiVo every Sunday and watch it usually Sunday night.
But. Yeah, old school CBS stuff. Though I still miss Charles Kuralt dearly. They did a piece this morning, somebody did a little op-ed piece on smartphones making us dumb. And the premise started really goofy. I don't necessarily disagree with, you know, we rely on technology and smartphones and Google, and that's just a little too much for our own good. But he started the whole his whole argument based on he didn't know his wife's phone number. He only knew her, you know, she was in his phone with her name. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't that what we always strive for? We never wanted to be known as a number, so we only wanted to be known by our names. It's like, here it is. It's real on your iPhone now. You only know her by her name, not a number. It's like, it's kind of flawed theory, but
weird.
It's kind of an interesting piece. But do you know think about it. Do you know the numbers of everybody in your phone?
No.
Does it bother you?
Not at the top of my head.
No,
but in the same way, it doesn't bother me that, you know, Minivate.com is, you know, 69.22.432.59 or whatever the IP address is of the web host. It's a lot easier to think about Minivate.com. So
that agreed.
Yeah, I can't keep all that.
And tell your friends again, that's Minivate.com.
That's right.
It'll alert the media.
Oh man.
So what else is going on from the world of, let's see, we've got, there was that you had mentioned earlier before we got on the adoption rate of iOS.
Of iOS 7. I was absolutely blown away when I saw this, that the Apple iOS 7 adoption is already at 74%. And it went above 50% adoption in 1 week, which is just incredible. Of course, then the article comes out in Information Week, iOS 7 adoption rate wallops Android 4.4 KitKat. And so when I read that one, I went, wait a minute. And that's when I went to the Android developer site to look at the, you know, what was the install on Android. And it turns out that it's over 50% on Jelly Bean.
Yeah.
And it's something like 55% if you add KitKat, you know, the Jelly Bean and the KitKat, if you add that all together.
And then you start getting hungry when you start.
That's right. But the adoption's good.
Can't do any
good.
More comparisons because you're just full.
I was at Fleet Farm the other day and I saw that they had KitKats with the Android thing on it. So I
they
bought
did?
One and I got my $5. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, it was great.
Cool.
Yeah.
You know, because I've been looking for that for quite some time, by the way.
Yeah. No, they're at Fleet Farm.
So those that don't know, it's a promotion. Anyway.
Yeah.
That Google's running on Android.
I was hoping I was going to get a new Nexus, but $5 is not bad, though, for a dollar investment, you know?
Well, they charged you a buck for the KitKat?
Yeah, I think it was a dollar. Maybe it was 79 cents.
I'd rather use a dollar to go after the $340 million Mega Millions.
Yeah, I think I would do that, too.
I got to
tell Steve on that.
I'm $4 ahead. Come on.
But, I mean, if you go back to the, you know, you're not comparing apples to apples here when you talk about the adoption rate of the OS. You can't compare iOS 7 to KitKat because Tim, where's KitKat available these days?
Nexus 5, the Nexus 4, and the Galaxy S4 so far. I think your HTC One is getting it pretty soon. The Nexus 7 just rolled out. So that's another one. But the Nexus line is basically the only one that's going to get, an upgrade to KitKat. And then, you know, new phones, as they come out, will ship with KitKat. So the Galaxy S5 or whatever, mm-hmm. Will have it pre-installed. So, you know, iOS is different, that it's controlled, you know, software, hardware by one company. So they just put a very obvious upgrade button and most people push it. I know some people, though, that are on, iOS 6 still, because they don't like the way that the calendar view works in iOS 7. So there's some people like that that are just like, they just don't want to upgrade for some crazy reason like that. So that's probably 4 or 5%. And then, you know, everybody else, the other 20% in this that hasn't upgraded yet, are running, you know, iPhone 3GSs that are stuck on iOS 6. So,
or the kid that was at the screen replacement kiosk at Mall of America, young guy, probably 20, 21 years old, who was showing me his jailbroken iPhone 4S and about all the free apps that he can download. Cause there's, there's various stores that people have put into place, and they break apps and then put them up there, and then he can download them for free. And he goes, look at this one. I downloaded this, and this is a $34 app. And I said, oh, well, do you ever use it? Well, no. It's like, okay. I just think, oh man, I mean, that's, you know, I mean, really, you're just stealing everything.
Sounds like a security problem too.
Well, there aren't any on computers, are there anymore?
I mean, Mr. Security. Well, if you root your Android phone or your jailbreak your iPhone, aren't you opening yourself up for a raft of problems?
Absolutely. Yeah, I would never. Well, I did do it once, and started installing various things through Cydia, which is the jailbroken app store. And not free apps, but just the stuff that they make available for free, that you can do various things. And I started to look at the different people, and I went on the net and I started to do some searching on various app providers, and I could not find one that had a real human behind it, or that was making themselves transparent. And I realized I don't know who any of these people are. And wait a minute, I'm banking on my phone, I'm using Schwab, and et cetera, et cetera. And I thought, it'd be simple and trivial to put a keylogger on your phone and just grab 100% of everything that's typed in, and know when the app launched that this is the username that was typed in, and here's the password that was typed in, and I'd never know if there's a keylogger on it.
Right.
So
Steve, you only tried it once, but did you inhale?
Yeah. Yeah, I did. Excuse me, I didn't.
No, there it is. Kidding.
I did inhale a little bit.
Hey, don't bogart
a little
that
bit.
Oh man, no, I know it's but that's why I wouldn't do it. I think it's you're just opening yourself up for all kinds of issues. It was funny though. I was standing at a table waiting for my genius appointment on a older Mac I have. And three young women came up, and this one young woman was having all kinds of problems with her iPhone. And she sat there and was telling the guy who was checking her in, yeah, but can't, you know, my friend has his phone jailbroken, and he's got all kinds of free apps on there. He can get this app and that app, and he can do this and he can do that and so on. And the guy goes like, well, that if you do that, it voids your warranty. Why would it void your, you know, just, it was just hilarious. And so
that's like going to Best Buy and talking to the guy in the DVD section and saying, hey, I know a guy that gets them all, downloads them all for free on the internet.
That's right. It's this thing called torrents. And
Hey, how come they don't come with special features like these DVDs do?
That's about it though. Oh my God.
Well, Tim mentioned, security and, you know, what I would really like to know is it would be nice to have somebody who had a little security tip for us, you know, and we kind of miss that.
Steve's security tip of the week.
Wow.
Well, as it happens,
it's like it was planned.
It could be. I actually have a security tip for the week.
Yes. What is it?
You know, one of the things about passwords,
yes,
is you want to have upper and lowercase letters, and you want to have numbers, and you want to have at least one, sometimes more, special characters in your password.
Yeah. The more obscure, the better.
And the more obscure, the better. And the if it's over 10 characters, and some would argue 12 is the magic number. If it's over that, the entropy or the difficulty in hacking that password goes up exponentially for every character you add after that. And most people don't do it. If you don't have one, you guys have one password, right? Or you do, Tim?
LastPass.
Yeah, I have LastPass as well. And it's great because I have, in some cases and stuff that I want to make sure never gets hacked, I have 20 or 24 character, very, very hard passwords. And I don't have to remember any of them because I use I use LastPass. But a guy has a tip that was on Business Insider about a great idea for creating passwords that are easy to remember but hard to hack. And I thought it was so brilliant that I wanted to put a link in the show notes to it. And basically what it is he said, you know, for example, a phrase could be something like, I graduated from Notre Dame University on June 1st, 2002. And he says, pick the first letter for every word in that phrase, and then make sure you include the upper and lower case and keep all the numbers. So the password would be capital I, G, F, N, D, U, O, J, 1, S, T, 2002. And, you know, if you in fact went to Notre Dame and did in fact graduate on June 1st, 2002, that would probably make it more relevant to you. But it was a good example. And he said, you know, you could also change the I to an exclamation point, and you now you've made it even harder to crack. And I thought this was absolutely brilliant because I can't tell you how many people either A, have incredibly simple passwords, or they have ones that they use for everything. And it would be nice if they could just use a passphrase and then just remember the passphrase.
So, Steve, you're saying password 123 is not a good password?
Well, unless you add 456 to the end.
Oh, much better.
And an exclamation point, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah, and then another 300 characters, then it'll probably be all right.
Much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Much better.
Yeah, it's getting pretty bad out there, kids, for password cracking. As we all know, Adobe got nailed, and it's almost like every quarter, every 2 or 3 months, there's some big breach that happens. So it's getting nasty out there.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a nice, easy tip. I mean, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
And of course, now you have to remember that phrase.
No, make up your own phrase.
No. That's what I'm saying, but you have to remember the phrase you make up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Because if you miss a word,
that's true.
Miss a letter. So,
and just so everyone knows, Phil's no longer using the I am happy, I am powerful, I am strong, and I love myself. So he's not using that anymore.
Darn it.
He's not doing this. The Stuart Smalley.
Stuart Smalley, Al Franken affirmation.
That's right.
Yeah. Hey, I'm good enough.
That's right.
It's so true. What do we got coming up for events? He asks inquisitively.
Well, really the only biggie is the TIES education tech event in December, but then when's Mobile March again? Oh, it's in March.
Sometime in March.
Okay.
March 20th is the date. Tickets are on sale for that, as a matter of fact, with the early bird rate.
Finally.
You can get those. And also we're adding a new track this year that will highlight the Internet of Things, connected devices and mobile hardware. So we're kind of excited about that.
That'll
we're hoping
good.
That's going to be a nice preview for another conference that we're putting together to focus on that topic specifically.
That would be fabulous. That would be fabulous.
So get your tickets now. Don't wait. Wake the kids. It's time to get your Mobile March tickets.
Well, I want to have you have a track or at least a session on make a mobile app for $1.
Okay.
With simple tools.
There you go.
Please.
Well, you know, if Steve Borsch would like to present on that topic, Steve Borsch could could go ahead and apply to be a speaker because we have that.
That would be a good session. I would show up for that session.
Yeah, but I'd look out in the audience and it would just be you, Tim. No, yeah. No one else would show.
No, no. I think all the iOS developers in town would show up and throw, you know, fruit.
Yeah, they would heckle you.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Bust out the pitchforks. But no, I think that's, I don't think that's a bad idea for a topic at all. But if somebody does want to present on that like that or some other topic, feel free to fill out an application and send it in to us on at Mobile March. We'll be glad to take a peek at that because we are building the agenda. It's still quite a few months away, but we are building the agenda.
Good. Good, good, good. Okay. Yeah, and other than that, I don't think there's any big events in December other than, isn't there something where people give gifts to one another?
Yes, I believe there is.
Okay.
Hanukkah is over,
Kwanzaa.
Though.
Kwanzaa, I believe.
No, Hanukkah is not over until the Thursday before Christmas.
Oh, I thought it was over.
No, it's, I forget what, well, I
have to... What do Episcopalians celebrate there?
We don't celebrate Hanukkah, so...
Yeah, Hanukkah's over on the 19th, so we could have to back up 8 days in terms of when it begins.
Oh, okay.
So the 11th. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought Hanukkah started on Thanksgiving this year.
I don't think so. Of course, I'm not Jewish, so I don't know, but.
Well, I believe it did, Steve, so I think Tim is right.
I hate that when I'm wrong. I just hate that. Well, so we may or may not have a podcast next week.
Yes. November 27th
and it's all
through December
Steve's
5th.
Fault.
It's always Steve's my fault.
Yeah. The 27th through the 5th of December.
Here's what I think I'm going to do is that Graham and I will have a podcast.
Okay.
Since he hasn't been on in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'll do is I'll go out to wherever his wife is showing the arts and crafts that she sells. And we'll just do a man on the street thing.
That'd be good.
I like that. Okay.
You know, I couldn't help but think about when we had Julio on last week, he was out walking around his neighborhood so that he could have quiet. And all I was thinking about was, boy, do it now when it's 6 degrees. You know, he'd be out there and say, what's that noise? And like his teeth chattering. So,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Well, listen, we'll find out some more goodies and we'll talk to you again next week on
the Men of Eight Gang podcast. Take care, gents.
Cheers.
I'm a worthy human being.
Bye, Stuart.